So a toxic week for local politics, which started, of course, with the outrage over the stunt by Sinn Féin MP Barry McIlduff. He posted a video online with a Kingsmill loaf on his head on the anniversary of the massacre. He was, of course, suspended by his party for 3 months as a result, and there was a further row yesterday after some unionist politicians shared online a cartoon about the atrocity in which 10 Protestant workmen were murdered 42 years ago. But last night, on The View on BBC One, the DUP and Sinn Féin went some way to drawing a line under the matter with a remarkable exchange between Edwin Poots, John O'Dowd, and, of course, the host, Mark Carruthers. This is on the iPlayer. If you want to go and watch it, go to the iPlayer and type in The View. It is really a fascinating watch. Sinn Féin MLA John O'Dowd said he was ashamed by the Kingsmill's atrocity as he made an outright condemnation of the sectarian attack.
I'll put it on the record again tonight. I remember Kingsmill very, very well. And I'll tell you why I remember it well. I had two cousins and an uncle shot dead the night before, and I had another uncle left for dead. What happened at Kingsmill was wrong. It was sectarian. And regardless of who carried it out, whether it was the IRA or others or people acting from the IRA, it was wrong, and we have condemned it in the past, and I add my condemnation to it tonight. It was wrong when it happened, it's wrong today.
Just let me pick up on that. Do you accept that it was a purely sectarian murder where 10 men were killed because they were Protestant?
Yes. It is shameful what happened on the roadside in South Armagh that night. Absolutely shameful. And I, as a Republican, I am ashamed of that. Those who carried it out should be ashamed. I am one of many now Republican leaders who have said what happened at Kingsmill was wrong. And those who carried it out did not in any way advance the cause of Irish unity in any way or any fashion. And we have caused, and that is why I say, I am not surprised why the Kingsmill families are so annoyed and will not believe what Sinn Féin have said, because Republicans have hurt them and harmed them. But there is a responsibility on broader unionist politicians, as there's a responsibility on Republican politicians, to move the society forward. That's our responsibility.
Can I take that one step further? Mm. You have said in very clear terms that you are ashamed of what happened, that it was completely wrong and unforgivable and inexcusable. Would you like to see the people responsible for that brought to justice?
The families of Kingsmill have a right to access justice. Just as every other families who have lost loved ones over this year. There's many, many families out there who have not seen the perpetrators who have killed their loved ones before the courts. All those families deserve access to justice. And the Kingsmill's families deserve access to justice.
The former DUP Minister Edwin Poots said the hurt caused to the families this week should sharpen the focus on the two parties to get talks back on track to try and reach political agreement.
I welcome what John said. And I would say what happened to John's family was wrong as well. That should never have happened. You know, we have had a history of people being killed on one side and the other. And after 25 years and close to 4,000 deaths and tens of thousands of injuries, it hadn't achieved anything. And therefore, us leaving a political vacuum is something which others will seek to fill. And it gives us all the more impetus to ensure that we move things forward. We work with each other, we deal with each other. There's things that they'll not like about the DUP, there's things we'll not like about Sinn Féin. But we worked with them for 10 years. This last year has been wholly unproductive. It has been unfulfilling as a politician this last year because things are not happening and you're not getting things done the way you should. And I really want to see us moving forward into an assembly, into an executive, and we need to cut the red lines and get down to business.
In the studio last night for that interview was the newsletter's political editor Sam McBride and the Irish News security correspondent Alison Morris, who both join us this morning. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Vinny.
Alison, we'll start with yourself. So you have John O'Dowd there condemning Kingsmill and what happened, and then you have the former DUP Minister Edwin Poots condemning the attack on four members of O'Dowd's family. How much relevance should we read into this, Alison?
I think it was a remarkable exchange. I mean, I showed up to commentate last night fully expecting there to be a row and some mudslinging between those two politicians, as there has been between those parties for the last 12 months. And instead, there was a completely different atmosphere. And I think that atmosphere was down to the fact that they had both read the mood in the public. They had both realised that there was a lot of anger that a lot of hurt had been caused, a great deal of hurt. I found it very depressing as a reporter in the last 7 days, reporting on mudslinging and tit-for-tat nonsense around victims and people who had already suffered enough. And I think that they read that the anger among their own voters, and you could feel it. And even afterwards, it was commented how emotional John O'Dowd had seemed.
Yeah.
And we spoke a lot about Kingsmill and the anniversary of Kingsmill and the hurt that was caused to Alan Black and others this week. And we must remember it was also the anniversary of the Vivian O'Dowd murders, and those families must have been suffering a lot this week as well. And I think there was a moment when Edwin Pitts reciprocated that and said that what happened to his family was wrong.
One of the interesting things at that point, Alison, throughout the interview, and this partly because of the way they were sitting there, both facing Mark Carruthers, both looking forward, especially Edwin, and it wasn't until that point, and the body language, I guess, when something like this is quite important, and Edwin turned at that point and addressed, you know, John face to face in terms of what happened to his family. Sam McBride, tone is always quite important, and sometimes things can be said over and over again, and then the tone changes and the context completely changes and how it's taken. Would you agree with those that are saying, Sam, this is one of the most powerful interviews in recent months?
I certainly think it's a very significant interview. I think that, like Alison, I had expected a pretty fiery encounter, and there was no sense really that these parties were moving back into government anytime soon. Their support bases were really at each other's throats over these various issues over recent times, and really there was nothing for them to lose, I suppose, from really just going in and locking horns very robustly last night. I think that there was an element last night of potentially these two men who are very experienced, who have worked together as executive ministers, albeit coming from very different backgrounds, perhaps realising that they have some sort of wider responsibility in societal terms beyond their simple the support bases which they normally look to. I think there was a hint of that towards the end of the exchange as well from Edwin Pitts, where he put this into a wider context as to what this actually means for the talks, if anything. And he really gave what to me seemed like a pretty clear message to DUP supporters that if they do go back into government, which he wants to do, that will mean compromise, and they won't be happy with aspects of that. And I think there was an element of maturity about what was said last night. It was a lot more frank. It was a lot more candor. And that aspect of more humanity as well, as Alison has said, where Edwin Pitts very directly addressed what John O'Dowd had said about his relatives who had been murdered, and that's not something which we see very often.
No.
In those sorts of situations, and it's easier, I suppose, to speak in generalities about condemning all violence or something like that. It's quite rare, in my experience, that you see a DUP politician turn to someone in Sinn Féin and say, "What happened to your relatives was wrong."
It's interesting. I would like to know what you think at home this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. When you have, you know, politicians on a programme like this, and then you've got our commentators this morning. You know, Alison said a few moments ago, the expectation of mudslinging. So what does that say about our politicians? And the surprise and shock that we all have, I think, to some extent, in terms of the tone of this interview. 030 30 80 55 55. Alison, just to go back to what Sam said a moment ago there, in terms of his surprise, that frank, quite personal one-to-one between John and Edwin, when Edwin responds in terms of what happened to his family.
It was very significant. And also very significant was John O'Dowd's condemnation, not just of the Kingsmill murders, but also when he said that he was shamed by them, and those who carried it out should be shamed by them, because that's not something we hear coming from Sinn Féin very often. They do say that they do condemn things and they do say they're wrong, but to go that extra mile and speak of shame and shame on republicanism was, I think, was quite healing for people like Alan Black, who you've seen the pain that they have suffered this past week. And his tone was just right, and I hope that it has helped matters. And especially then, obviously, we know the incident when that sort of cross Carntoun and what happened after that. And that again was dragging these victims. He didn't ask for any of this. They haven't asked to be dragged into the middle of this. And we would hope that all of that would go some way to healing that. But it's even significant among Republicans for John O'Dowd to come out and say something so strong against Kingsmill. You remember after Massarine and Martin McGuinness came out and said that those who carried it out were traitors to Ireland. And we spoke about that for many years afterwards in terms of how significant that was. And I think that that was a very significant exchange last night,
yeah,
and a very healing exchange. But I agree, it does not mean that we're going back into devolved government this time next week and everything's going to be rosy.
No, not at all.
The two things need to be separated.
And we can say, of course, many times it was a powerful interview, but will it be possible for them, for Sinn Féin and the DUP, to actually sell this to their electorate? And then, you know, when we think of getting Stormont back up and running, there's no suggestion this will actually lead to that. Maybe what they have actually done is calmed the waters after what has been quite a difficult week. Let's go to the phones on this. Barry in Belfast. Good morning, Barry. What do you think?
Well, Barry, I just think what John O'Dowd said, it has to be welcomed, but it needs to come from Michelle O'Dowd. She's the leader. You know, we're talking this morning about what Mark McGuinness said about Mazarine. And what John O'Dowd remarkably said yesterday, and it needs to be applauded for that.
Do you not think John O'Dowd is quite a senior member of Sinn Féin? He's a long-standing politician.
But he's not the leader, and it needs to come from Michelle O'Neill, and she showed what she thinks about the whole thing around Kingsville by her shameful treatment of McIntosh. We should have been kicked into touch.
You think, was there any relevance, or did you notice any change in tone last night, Barry, from what you watched?
I didn't see it. I've only heard it this morning.
Well, from what you've heard, what we played this morning, even the conversation between the two.
Yes, absolutely.
And how much should we read into that? Is that a suggestion of maybe a shift change in politics here?
Well, the politicians of both sides are going to have to wise up. They're just making themselves out to be a bunch of muppets on both sides. But do you
agree, Barry, that they did the opposite last night in that conversation? They spoke to each other like human beings. They understood each other's pain and the difficulties that both sides of the community have experienced.
Well, that was probably because John O'Dowd did what very few, you know, Republicans can do, and you know, embrace normality instead of the indoctrination that they're. I see Michelle O'Neill's from that hardened breed of Republicans that are almost indoctrinated at birth with hatred and division.
Well, of course, they would say that they're not indoctrinated at birth. They would counter that. Barry, thank you. Jim in West Belfast. Jim, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, Vinny. I listened to that last night, and like everyone else, was waiting for the usual tit-for-tat.
The mudslinging again. You heard Alison say it. It's automatic. You expect that, don't you?
You do indeed. But I listened to John O'Dowd last night, and I said this before. John O'Dowd last night articulated a view that a lot of people, regardless of Republican or whatever, feel. It was wrong, it was shameful, and it was great to see Edmund Pooch, who probably wasn't expecting that comment to come out of his mouth, turn around and then continue the dialogue. But I have said this all along, John O'Dowd he just shows leadership. He's a great orator. When he opens his mouth, it's progressive. Michelle O'Neill, Barry McIlduff's situation was her first big, massive test as leader of Sinn Féin in North of Ireland. And I just think, I feel for her. I think she's had a very difficult time since she took over as leader of Sinn Féin in the North, and she has got it wrong at every opportunity.
Is that totally fair?
I think there's a massive clash of personality between her and Arlene Foster, and I think she's doing a fantastic job. But you listened to John O'Dowd last night, and just what came out of his mouth. I've said it before. He's an articulate man. He's a great orator. He's very progressive. Michelle O'Neill should have been saying that there. She is the leader of Sinn Féin in the north of Ireland. She should have come off of a comment similar to that there to try and sort of pull back what had happened with Barry McIlduff. She didn't.
How much in terms of the preparation or before Michelle did speak, Michelle O'Neill, on the response after that meeting with Barry McIlduff when they announced that 3-month suspension? You know, do you not think that to some extent she will, and maybe she'll agree, rightly so, she'll feel like she assessed the situation, she has punished Barry McIlduff, and therefore, you know, it's time to move on.
Yes. Listen, Michelle Knight is a very, very intelligent woman. She's a very articulate young woman, and I don't doubt her competency. But what she did in that interview was very clinical. She went through the sort of the semantics of he's been suspended for 3 months. She could have given that human touch, you know, that emotional touch. Martin McGuinness was brilliant at it. He was able to, like, you know, Mazarine, he called him traitors to Ireland. You know, it's not hard to put a wee bit of emotion into what
you're... There's a slightly different, I guess, angle to that, though, to be fair, Jim, because you heard, and we played the clip there, in terms of John O'Dowd and the fact that he himself suffered during the Troubles and he himself was a victim. You heard what he said regarding his family members, two cousins and an uncle shot dead the night before Kingsmills. So maybe that is one of the reasons that they chose John O'Dowd to go forward for that interview. And maybe not Michelle O'Neill, because he had that personal connection.
But listen, part of it, listen, for everyone, you could go to every house in the north of Ireland and everybody either has lost somebody or knows somebody who was lost through the conflict. And it's not a matter of sort of how many people you've lost within your family. It's just like, it's just that, it's that emotional touch of, you know,
okay,
Brian McElbuff's done was wrong, and it re-traumatised people who are already traumatised, and it's just putting that emotional touch. And I think Michelle O'Neill, who again I would say is a very articulate, competent young woman, but she just doesn't get that there.
Okay.
And you listen to John O'Dowd last night, I just thought he actually gave me a bit of hope again, and I have no hope in this place. And I thought last night, my God, maybe this can go somewhere in the next 6-7 months.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if it does. Jim, thank you. Sam, just to bring you in at that point, the decision by Sinn Féin to put John O'Dowd on the programme last night and not Michelle O'Neill, do you think we should read into that?
I think that to be fair to Michelle O'Neill on that point, it's rare that party leaders in Northern Ireland do these things. They do these big set piece interviews maybe once, twice a year. They don't like to be on every week. There's an argument that this was such a serious situation that perhaps the leader ought to have gone on. I suppose if you look at it in reverse, in terms of who the DUP sent, sent somebody.
She did do a press conference, and perhaps she could have gone further in that, or you know, maybe appeared on. Given the uproar after what happened with Barry McElduff,
yes,
perhaps it maybe was the time to go, well, I will step up now to the plate, and as leader, I will. Yeah, for example, if it was Martin McGuinness, would he have done it, or would he have sent in John O'Dowd if it was a different situation?
I think that your last caller there touched on something which is very significant, and which is a real risk for Michelle O'Neill out of recent events. There's a real sense in recent times that she is an appointee rather than a leader, and that there's a really significant difference between how she approaches things, how she speaks with authority or a lack of authority within the party. Martin McGuinness, because of his past, obviously commanded that respect within the Sinn Féin group in Stormont and wider afield. There's a real sense, I think, a really obvious, glaring sense that they just haven't replaced him with anyone of that calibre. John O'Dowd last night spoke much more confidently, not scripted, not reading from a page as happened with Michelle O'Neill earlier in the week. Very, very powerfully, and that does, I think, for some people, and probably for Sinn Féin supporters in particular, bring back memories of Martin McGuinness, who had that as one of his key strengths.
Alison, a lack of authority, is that fair?
I think the position that Michelle O'Neill was put into as leader, coming as it did after Martin McGuinness, who was such an iconic figure within Republicanism, it was never going to be an easy job for her. You know, there's huge shoes to fill. I think that the right person was sent last night, and for obvious reasons that you touched on. That was the Kingsmill came in a week of horrible bloodshed here, and John O'Dowd's family were among the people who suffered in that horrible week. And so he was the person who was emotionally connected to it. And I think that came through in the interview. The humanity of that interview is something that I think shocked us all, and it was quite something to be, you know, up close and personal and have front row seats for that,
yeah,
because I think it was a game changer in terms of where we were in this week, because you know Vinnie, you've been doing this show all week, and you know how toxic things were and how nasty things were. This was a pretty bad week for politics and for Northern Ireland, and I think that has helped calm those very stormy waters. But as regards to Michelle O'Neill's leadership, I think that once we have the new leader in the south, which I don't know, there's no point in pretending it's not going to be Mary Lou McDonald. We all know it is going to be. There may be a shift change there anyway, and I think that Michelle O'Neill's role, especially if Stormont doesn't get up and running and we have direct rule, her role in Sinn Féin will probably become less in relation to the fact that their focus will shift to Dublin and shift to the south. And a lot of the times we'll probably hear more from Mary Lou McDonald than we will from Michelle O'Neill. You're never going to be able to replace Martin McGuinness. You know, you could see in terms of when his funeral happened, what way he was held up among Republicans, and no person was going to be able to just walk in and replace him.
It's interesting, and I guess there will be some that will be listening and thinking, well, given what's happened with Barry McIlduff, given them what happened with that cartoon that was shared by some unionist politicians, you know, is what happened on that programme enough? Maybe it's not. It's not a step far enough. 0-30-30-80-55-55. And then there might be many that will say, should we be so surprised when our politicians show a bit of compassion on a TV show? Or should this be something that is just done as human beings, regardless of the fact if you're a politician or not? Let's go to Danny in the Short Strand. Good morning to you, Danny.
Morning, Billy.
What do you think?
I just want to expand on what others have been saying so far. It was very positive to see how both of the guests conducted themselves. I think John O'Dowd showed some different attitude and a better side to what we've been seeing over the last few months and indeed years. You compare that with how you would see on other interviews between, say, members of Labour Party and Conservatives. I've watched in the past those interviews, and they've managed to, although they're at each other's throats most of the time, they've also managed to congratulate each other and say some positive things when it was due. It wasn't always negative, and I think we need much, much more of that. More humanity and, you know, to show a bit more leadership in that direction.
Do you think, though, Danny, when we compare it to politicians across the water, you know, if some of these things, if the conversations we've had on this programme alone for over 10 years, I sometimes wonder, would they happen across the water, or would they be so far removed from what some would call normal politics, it just wouldn't happen? The likes of what Barry did.
Well, each region has its own difficulties. You know, we're not absolutely unique. We are different, obviously, but across the water too, they have, you know, opposing opinions as well, and some of them are real dead set, and there's no change in people's opinions there. But at the same time, they will give credit where it's due, and they will pat their opponents on the back.
Okay.
From time to time.
All right.
And when you see that, you know, it's warming, and it encourages you a bit more. You know.
All right, Danny. Thank you. Let's go to Jonathan in Newton Arch. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hi, Ivan. I'm under no doubt that John was throwing a wet blanket over that last night. He came out with a bungled speech. He had to do that to cover Barry's tracks.
What do you mean?
Well, I wouldn't believe a word that he says.
Why?
Because he's not sincere.
But what are you basing that? What are you basing that on?
It's past. Sinn Féin's past. The brutal murders that they caused through the IRA, the coffins they carried down the road.
Well, what about the fact that John O'Dowd himself, he lost people, he is a victim of the Troubles as well. You heard him say in that programme last night, the night before, Kingsmill's two cousins and an uncle shot dead.
That was sad. That should never have happened. Should never happen. But you see, the thing is, Vinny, with Sinn Féin, particularly in the unionist community in Northern Ireland, they've told that many lies. And they have carried so many coffins.
Okay, well,
it's hard for my community to...
Let's not use words like lies, because it just makes me very uncomfortable, Jonathan. Just to go back to what John said, and I'll bring you back in. You know, on the record, he said he condemned the Kingsmill massacre. He said it is shameful. Hold on. It is shameful what happened that night. As a Republican, I am shamed by it. It was wrong. He then went further to say the families of those victims should get justice. So if
and
that's
they should get justice, but
yes, but
justice.
My point, my question to you though is, if that's not enough for you, what would be?
Well, as a unionist, I just can't. I'm not going to use the word tolerate, but these people have inflicted so much misery on my community, and it's hard for the unionist Protestant community to forgive this.
And John,
at
I think
Anthony, at every interview, they're downing our culture. They're down on everything that we say. We're to blame for everything.
Well, that's not totally true. You're kind of casting a very wide net there.
And he had loved ones who was killed the night before. But the Kingsmill, I mean, that man, Barry, should not be a politician. And that's what's annoying the Protestant community still. This man hasn't stepped down. He's got a 3-month suspended sentence with full pay, most probably.
It's not a suspended sentence. He was suspended from the party for 3 months. Jonathan, just to bring you back to that programme again last night, you know, we heard John O'Dowd say he understands why many unions do not trust Republicans because of the hurt and the pain. But when that's acknowledged and when that is, you know, what would they have to do to change your mind. You heard Edwin Putz last night. He accepted that from John. He welcomed those comments from John O'Dowd.
I accept them too, but I say what needs to happen for the unionist community. Barry needs to resign. There needs to be a by-election, and that's the problem.
Okay.
Sinn Féin don't want a by-election because they know they would be wiped. They would lose that
seat. Aside from the Barry McIlduff issue, Jonathan, given what was said on that programme last night, did you notice any change in tone? Did you welcome what was said from John?
Yeah, with a pinch of salt. We're quite honest, with a pinch of salt, because we've heard this from Republicans before, but behind their backs, or behind the unionist community, they're laughing.
Okay. Jonathan, thank you. There are some people, Sam McBride, that will just never really be convinced, and of course it's their right to feel so.
That's right, and I think one quite significant thing which we haven't touched on yet, but while what John O'Dowd said last night was hugely significant, and there is no way that that can be taken away from, I think he was very deliberately trying to send a particular message last night, but one thing which he didn't do, which some of the victims have been calling for in recent days, is to admit that the IRA did carry out King's Mill. I think that he probably came as close as maybe any senior Sinn Féin person has come to at least accepting that was possible by saying, I think his words were to the effect that whether it was the IRA or whoever else or other Republicans or something of that nature.
What's your understanding, Sam, as to why that hasn't happened already?
Well, I think if we go back to 2011, about 7 years ago, when the HET reported on this issue, they said pretty conclusively, very conclusively, looking at ballistic science, various other factors, they said this was carried out by the IRA under a cover name, something which I think everyone had really understood in terms of people who had covered it at the time. But at that point, Mitchell McLaughlin, who was speaking for Sinn Féin, said that he believed the continued denials of the IRA, that they hadn't carried it out. Now, he in some ways said something quite similar to what John O'Dowd said last night, albeit without that sort of feeling, but he said that it was a sectarian attack, it shouldn't have happened, but it was not the IRA. And I think that is something which for some victims they want to see for a very simple reason. You can't apologise for something until you admit that you did it. So if I've stolen from something from you, I can't. You can't move on from that, I suppose, and you can't say sorry for that until I've actually owned up to it. And that is something which I think some people will certainly look at that and say, that is something which he should have done. But I think that what he was trying to communicate last night was pretty much everything but that, and that in itself is pretty significant in the context of where we are this week.
And of course, many will say that the atrocity was so... it was so horrific that is the reason behind why it was never officially claimed.
Well, I think that was very obvious. I mean, this was something which sometimes people, I suppose, look back on the Troubles and say it was a different time. You've got to understand that things were different then. Even at the time, this was something that right from the instant it happened, the IRA were ashamed of. There was a sense that this was something which could not be admitted because even at that point, it was so gruesome, it was so indefensible that I assume that there was some sort of risk from their point of view that even within their own community at that point they would lose support over this. So I think that is a statement, I suppose, of just how shocking this was even at that point.
Okay, Sam McBride, thank you very much, and thanks to Alison Morris as well.